about half a mile down the hill when, coming up the other way, she noticed a man on a rusty and badly squeaking bicycle who was pedalling away with something less than enthusiasm. A moment later, she pulled up in front of him and once again switched off the engine and got out. Her van's ancient internal combustion system was apt to be very loud and noisy and wasn't above giving the occasional backfire which tended to make people jump, herself most of all. The cyclist's head was well down as he attempted to urge his squeaking steed up the hill, and at first he simply didn't realise that she had stopped right in front of him. A bag of what looked like groceries lay firmly strapped across the handlebars, which were wobbling rather alarmingly. Jenny coughed, loudly. The man's head jerked upwards and the handlebars corkscrewed, promptly pitching him headfirst off the saddle. He landed, rather artistically, Jenny thought, right at her feet. He looked as if he was coming up to retirement age, with a small white moustache and more wrinkles on his face than a candlewick bedspread. She quickly moved her considerable frame into action and went to see if he was all right.
"Hell's bells and buckets of blood," the man muttered,
but the lack of heat in his tone made it sound more like a greeting than a curse. No doubt, Jenny surmised, pedalling for miles on a reluctant bike in the hot summer sun would sap the passion out of anyone, but at least he wasn't hurt. As she knelt down beside him, the man rearranged himself so that he was sitting on his bottom, as opposed to his elbow and nose, and stared at the fallen bike in the road. The front wheel was still spinning jauntily, if rather uselessly.
"Damn useless piece of junk," the cyclist huffed. "I'd be better off walking."
And then, as if suddenly remembering the cause of his downfall, his head turned and swivelled sharply upwards, the visor of his cap shading his eyes. What he saw was a wonderful figure of a woman. She was dressed in a very long, very sensible summer dress of cornflower blue with a matching jacket that perfectly complemented the shade of her large and quite beautiful eyes. The man blinked. The last time he'd seen a woman of this shapely size was in the far-gone days of his youth, when women had hips and breasts, and the hourglass shape that made a man's mouth water.
"Excuse me," Jenny said politely, looking down at the man who happened to be sitting on one of her feet. "Could you tell me if I'm anywhere near Buscott?"
The cyclist blinked again. Then, rather reluctantly, he struggled to stand upright, grunting and groaning with theatrical vigour as he did so. He put his hands in the small of his back and stretched, then winced, then nodded.
"Buscott's just round the bend. Love, you can't miss it."
Since Jenny hadn't actually considered the possibility that she might somehow manage to drive through an entire village without noticing it, she gave him a brief smile of agreement.
"Thank you. Now, could you tell me how to get to..."
She quickly stood up and delved into the van's small glove compartment and withdrew a letter. "Wainscott House." The old man, forgetting his various bruises for a moment, gave her a rather odd look.
"You'll be wanting Lucas Finch, then?" he asked.
His eyes, which the cook guessed were rather short-sighted, narrowed ominously. Jenny, as a rule, didn't go about discussing her private business. But since she had, albeit unintentionally, been the cause of his rather abrupt introduction to the tarmac, she supposed that she owed him at least a little something by way of recompense. Besides, she might learn something about her erstwhile employer. She nodded briefly.
"That's right."
The old man suddenly shrugged.
"Wainscott House is the last house in the village, right next to the river. Big, square, solid lump of a place it is. You can't miss that either."
Jenny smiled and almost knocked the poor man flat for a second time. She had, the cyclist mused with a wistful sigh, the loveliest smile he'd ever seen on a woman, including those of his favourite screen goddesses of yesteryear, such as Rita Hayworth and Veronica Lake. Then he shook off such silly maundering and reached for his bike, hefted it onto its wheels, and stared glumly down at it.